Amen. Bless the Lord. Why don't you go on and be seated? Boy, what a joyous morning it is to come and give praise to the Lord. You know, there are people that you talk to who say, oh man, it's Christmas morning. We couldn't spend Christmas morning in a church. And then there's people that you talk to who say, there's no other place I'd rather be than worshiping God on Christmas morning. And that is you. So I'm so glad to be here. You know, you are the type of people as a pastor that you say, man, let's go build the church, right? Let's take this thing and run with it. We're dedicated. We're serious. And the others who aren't here, they might be in Minnesota or somewhere else. And so we'll cut them some slack for today while they're gone. We just will certainly miss them. Now, I'm going to need a little bit of help this morning. So I'm looking around. Sydney, Dez, I see y'all here. Do you mind if I put you on the spot? I need help opening one of these gifts today. And so I thought that I could use an expert gift opener. Would one of y'all want to come up here and help me open a gift? Both of you can come up. It's okay. All right. Give them a hand. They need some encouragement this morning. All right. Now, if you were to choose which gift you might like, so let me just show this so that people can see. This is a very nice gift that was wrapped by my wife. And I have wrapped this one because I told her that I needed two presents. And you know, if guys were to wrap all the gifts under the tree, then we would save so much money. I'm like, we can reuse this stuff. We don't have to bust into the new roll. So which one would y'all like to open? All right, let's see what's in it. Come on. Can we put it here? Can we put it right here? Can y'all step up onto the platform? Is that all right? So everybody can see you opening it. Here we go. Can we zoom? We got it zoomed. Let's see this thing. Tear into it. We're not going to save the paper, right? All right, go for it. I'm so excited, even though I know what's inside. I know, she does too good of a job wrapping paper. Some of y'all do too good when you wrap, right? It makes it very difficult. Mm-hmm. There you go, it's okay. Never been able to rip one of those bow things. Those are pretty hard. The ribbon is not in danger.
Not at all.
Not at all. Here we go. There you go. Got it from the bottom. Now we're talking. This is why our Christmas morning takes a long time in our house. Maybe everybody should open their gifts all at once when we start going. All right. Very impressive. Now we're talking. Now we're getting there. Okay, but it's upside down. I don't want it to break. All right. Here we go. Do we need a knife? Because a pastor happened to bring a knife. All right. On Christmas morning, you know you might need a knife. This thing is impenetrable fortress. There we go. That's what it needed. Okay. She is, man. Okay. It's ready for you. What is it? Quick! A lot of tissue paper, a lot of tissue paper, a lot of tissue paper. It's a rock. Are you kidding me? This whole thing for a lousy rock? This is one of our backyard rocks. It's very important. Can y'all give them a hand? They did so good. Y'all are good sports. Okay, y'all can have a seat. Y'all are awesome. Thank you so much. Great. I'm sorry to put you through so much excitement and joy for a rock, but what a reminder. Oh, careful, this rock will travel. Not on the new carpet. It's okay. What a reminder that you can't judge what's on the inside by the outside, can you? I ought to know that on Christmas Day, how important that lesson is for us. You know, when we see Mary and Joseph on what we celebrate on Christmas, they had angels appear to them and tell them to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, you are to name this baby Jesus because he's going to save his people from his sins. And then to Mary, right, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and this child is going to grow within you. And if I were Joseph or Mary, my mind would have just been bursting with, oh my goodness, you know, this is incredible. Now, do you think that what began to take place in their lives matched what they had envisioned with the angels and with their proclamation? I just want us to look at this from a natural point of view. And I want us to look at the story then from a supernatural point of view. All right, what would their thoughts have been like? Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Remember, Mary is great with child. That's a biblical, politically correct way of saying she's hurting, all right? Her back is hurting, ankles are swollen, she's very pregnant. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Oh, that's so sweet. Right? It's so sweet to us because since the time that we were children, we've heard this Christmas story and we've read it, and oh, it's just so sweet. Do you realize what's going on right here in this story? This is not sweet. If we were to look at it from the natural eye, just walk through these verses with me. When Caesar Augustus decrees something, right, they almost worshiped him as a god in those days. When he decrees something, you just do it. By the way, it's so cool how Luke lists so many specific things in here. Really hard for people to ignore this in history when Luke, as a doctor, was so methodical of just listing names, places, listing that Joseph was from David. All that Luke is listing, there's so much fulfillment that is going on here from the Old Testament. Let's imagine for a second that we were Joseph or Mary, that we had been proclaimed the news of the birth from the angels. We had these great ideas of what's going to go on. Just like running in on Christmas morning and you see this Christmas gift that's so beautiful and wrapped so nice. I can only imagine inside this gift, there's going to be something awesome. I mean, a Nintendo or something like that. Really cool, right? Or a knife or something like that, right? I mean, something that would be really cool would be inside of this gift because it looks so nice. But just look at what happened to them. Here's the first thing. When we look at it through natural eyes, they went on a long journey. I want to tell you, I've never met a woman who was 8 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant, who wanted to go on a long journey. All right, let's just look at this map for a second. No, this isn't what it looked like in Joseph and Mary's day, but you can see there in bright red, Nazareth, and then Bethlehem down a little bit further. I was looking for this thing, right? Nazareth up here by the Sea of Galilee. Bethlehem way down here by Jerusalem. Now, if you were to get on and Google Maps this today and say, I want to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, in your car, it's 98 miles away today, and it's going to take you, it says, 1 hour and 53 minutes based on the traffic that was on Thursday as I Googled this to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, right? But let's say that you were wanting to walk it, and let's say that you're a power walker, okay? This is your New Year's resolution. You're going to walk it, and you're going to join in this path from Mary and Joseph and really make this. Then it says the best way to walk in modern-day Google is 99 miles, and it's going to take you 1 day and 10 hours of walking. I just want to tell you, there's no way that's achievable. 1 hour, 1 day and 10 hours, that ain't happening. All right, I'm napping at somewhere along the way in that journey. That's straight through. So today, wearing Nikes and Reeboks or Tevas, those are the only ones that I can remember. It's going to take you 1 day and 10 hours. Now, I want to tell you, when they were to go from here to here, all of this area is full of Samaritans that any good Jew, which Joseph and Mary were good Jews, would not walk through this area. They don't want to walk through this area. They might even cross over the Jordan River to get over here. They're going to come up through Jericho to come over here to Bethlehem. What I'm saying is that this is well over 100 miles for a pregnant woman to walk. I know many times we envision her on a donkey, and I love the movie The Nativity and how it shows her on a donkey, and it is definitely plausible. But those who would have had a donkey in that day would be those of us today who drive a Mercedes or a BMW. Not many of us, right? There are some of us. But we know Mary and Joseph were very poor. So this long journey is difficult. I mean, just from a worldly perspective, oh, this is what we got to start with. And I just look at it from a husband's perspective, so I apologize for this. But I just look at it as this is going to go bad for Joseph, right? At somewhere along the way, I don't know if when they're crossing the Jordan or they're over here getting up to Jericho and she sees this hill they got to climb, at somewhere this is bad for Joseph, right? Like, out of all the people in Nazareth, you were the one that betrothed yourself to me, right? You can just see this is tough. This is trying. The reality of our lives is that we're on a long journey, aren't we? Not talking about walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem anymore. Some of us in our relationships, we've been on a journey for years with those people. Some of us in sickness have struggled with pain, and it is difficult. And we know that God is with us, and we see promises from the Bible, yet still we're on this journey. And it might not look good where you are. That's how our natural eyes see things. Here's the second part. We look through natural eyes. There was no place for them, right? This just goes from bad to worse for Joseph, right? And I can imagine Mary at some point, couldn't you have sent a carrier pigeon ahead of us, right? And at least reserved a place in Bethlehem, alerted family that they knew that we were coming or something. This just goes bad from bad to worse. There's no place for them in the inn. And unfortunately, for a lot of us, we don't feel like we have a place, right? Just like them. Man, somebody can always sing better, play an instrument better, run faster, throw the ball farther, hit harder, be smarter than I am. And so we run into that time and time again, and we feel like there's no place for us. Wonder how Mary and Joseph felt. I mean, I wonder if when the angels appeared to them, if they drew it up this way in their mind. I bet they had a place in Nazareth picked out for Jesus to be born. That was going to be great. But unfortunately, that wouldn't have fulfilled any scripture. So, okay, we got to make this long journey. Then I bet going from Jericho all the way to Bethlehem, I bet Mary's envisioning, man, I can't wait till I get to that inn. I hope it's that inn with the spa treatment, right? And I'm going to see my feet being rubbed by Joseph, and things are going to be nice. I wonder how she had it pictured in her mind. And instead, they get there, and there's no room for them. There's no place for them. And then, to make matters worse, what do they find? A difficult birth. Here's the third thing we see through natural eyes. Now, I just got to tell you, I'm not the expert when it comes to having babies. There is a day that I want to preach a sermon series on how having babies is difficult for men, but for some reason, God's never led me directly down that path. I'm not the expert, but I want you to know that it is difficult. Okay, Ethan, our firstborn, was due on March the 1st, right after Leap Day. Well, Elizabeth's water breaks on February 29th on Leap Day, and we're there in the hospital. It's late. So the doctor comes in at 11:40 and says, you're close. If you want this to be a leap baby, we can make it happen. Like, that freaked us out. No way. You know, we don't really understand what that we can make that happen means. And so we're just going to stick with the natural thing. Okay. So we stuck with the natural thing. He was born at 1:15 in the morning. You know, you go through all of the stuff that you go through. Family was there. It was about 5:30 a.m. that we finally are back in our room with, and we have Ethan there, and oh, we're so exhausted, we're so tired, this has been so great. And at 6:30, the first visitors from our church started coming that next morning, all day long, coming to see. We didn't sleep at all. Man, that was tough. We had Kara, our second one, during the day, and we got sleep that night. We were like, this is amazing. We didn't know having babies was this easy. We see them in a stable. We see them laying Jesus in a manger. We think, how sweet is that? Because we've heard it. But the reality was far different. I want us to watch this clip to help understand the emotion behind what's going on. This is Joseph and Mary coming into Bethlehem.
Joseph, the child is pressing.
The child? Now?
Now.
Yes. We're very close.
Bethlehem. We're here. We will find a place. I promise. God be with you. Is there a place for my wife and me to stay?
I'm sorry. There is no room here.
Please, please. Is there an inn? Is there a place for us? My wife, she's in pain. Is there a place for us?
No.
Will you not provide for us?
There's someone! Help us!
Joseph! Joseph!
Mary! Mary! Help! I beg you! I have not your home, but any place you have!
It's all I can do.
Isn't that amazing? I love it. Would anybody have drawn up that script for the entrance of the Son of God into the world? Church, you will know difficulties in this life. It's just a part of life. I think sometimes when we look at this gift and we open it up and we think, oh, it's just a rock inside of it, sometimes the difficulties might have to do more with our expectations on the way that we drew it up in our head for God to do something miraculous in our life. I'm floored by the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. When you look at the three things that we've talked about this morning, you would think, this is a bad story. It's bad for Mary and Joseph. Look at where they're going to have Jesus. I talked about it being a difficult birth. I can't imagine having a baby in a stable. I can't imagine that. A cow or a sheep being next to us as we're having a baby. That blows my mind. And if we were to look at it through natural eyes, we would think God is not in control here. Yet when we look at it with 2,000 years of perspective, and we look at it in the Bible, we realize this: God was in complete control. And what God drew up has persevered through all time, right? Sometimes our difficulty is because of our expectations and just what we see in the natural world. So I want us to look at the same story through the eyes of God. Sydney, Des, I know I picked on you just a minute ago. We've got one more gift. Would you mind coming up here and opening it up? All right. Now, I was just joking when I said that I wrapped this. I can't wrap. Elizabeth did this one, too. In fact, she wrapped it first, and I said, that looks way too nice. Can you rewrap it? Tear into this thing. Let's see what's inside. Go for it. All right. We did save some money on the wrapping paper on this one. There we go. Get it off of there. You shouldn't need a knife. Look at this. You can just rip it open. All right. Still tissue paper. But there are candies that make a J for Jesus. How exciting that is. Now, would y'all help me? I bet that there are others in the sanctuary that might like a candy cane. So I'm going to set this down. Y'all are welcome to take one. And any kids, if y'all are in here, if you want to come down and grab a candy cane, you are welcome to do that. Yes, this is a cheap way to make you like the pastor. Yeah, see, all kids, young and old, are welcome to come and grab one. Yes, I know this is a cheap way to make children like the pastor, but the pastor is very friendly, very nice. Man, suddenly you see all the children that have been asleep on laps. They sit up and run down. Here you go. There's plenty. Look back with me in Luke chapter 2. In verse 8, let's look through spiritual eyes now, church. See, in the same region, in the same place where all of this was taking place, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Isn't that so cool? After 2,000 years, it doesn't get old, does it? Here's the first thing when we look through supernatural eyes. We see a presence of angels, an angelic presence. Now, this is something that we can't control. But the reality is that there is a constant presence of angels around us. We're reminded about that in the Christmas story. Right at first, it's just one angel before the shepherds, and he's proclaiming this thing. And then look what happens in verse 12. "This will be a sign to you." One angel saying this, "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And in verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Praise the Lord. Right? Suddenly, they just see one angel. And that angel appeared to them, it seems like out of nowhere. And how cool it is that there's this one angel. But then suddenly, there's a ton of angels. And what we see is that it's like the curtain has been lifted. It's like the black drape was dropped where they couldn't see them finally. Suddenly, what was unseen is seen. They were there the whole time. Do you realize that you're surrounded by a great host of heavenly angels? What are they there for? They're fighting for you. We see in the book of Daniel, Michael, the archangel, coming when Daniel needed him. What are they doing? They're delivering messages that are important for you. That's the definition of angel, is a messenger. Where are they? They're all around us. Even Hebrews 13:2 says sometimes we could be entertaining them unaware. Here's another thing that we see through spiritual eyes. In the midst of all of this bad stuff going on, we see the message of God through the angels. Listen, just like the angels, we don't control them, and they're always there. In the same way, the message that they spoke is with us today, just like it was when they spoke it 2,000 years ago. It's something that hasn't changed. Look back at their message. The very first thing he says, I bring you good news of great joy. Is there anything more cool than that? I mean, that's what you want to lead out in a message. Good news of great joy. That describes Jesus right there. Let's be reminded of that this morning. They say glory to God in the highest. You know why they can say glory to God in the highest? Because Jesus gives glory to God. He is God's plan to save the world. How do we give glory to God in the highest? We give him that glory through Jesus. By making him Lord of our life, by worshiping him, God has given the most glory. And then the angels say this, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And I think that that's a fun line that we skip over so many times in the Christmas story. Peace on whom his favor rests. It's kind of like peace conditionally, right? Yeah, I want to give you peace, but here's a condition that peace is going to abide by. God's favor is going to rest on him. Who does God's favor rest upon? Those who follow Jesus. That's it. Those who have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Those whom Jesus has become Lord of their life. God's favor is resting upon them. His blood is covering their sin. It's only those people who have peace. You know, there are people throughout the world that can have peace at different times. Right? Family can show up for Christmas and you can have them all around the tree. And there's just those moments where, oh, there's peace in my life. And then instantly after the presents are unwrapped, there's no more peace, right? Whatever aura was there in the room that brought peace is no longer there. People can have peace that makes sense. But what the presence of God offers through Jesus is a peace that passes understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense. Right? That's what we see in Joseph and Mary. You just traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There's no room in the inn. You're stuck in this stable. And yet we see in their lives a picture of peace that doesn't make sense. It's God's presence. It's the presence of Jesus in our lives. Here's a third thing. When we look through with the supernatural eyes, at this story, we see the shepherds worshiping. Look in verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And then it says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They saw the work of the Lord. They wouldn't stop talking about it to everybody. And while they were doing that, they were glorifying God. So when we look at this story through supernatural eyes, we see the shepherds worshiping. Now, these first two things we have no influence over. We've got the message of God. We have the angelic presence around us. But this one, we have some influence over this one. Do we have a heart like a shepherd to respond to the message of Jesus and say, I will worship you? Do we have a heart that would say, I just traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, but I will worship you? Do we have a heart that says, even though I'm stuck in this stable, I will worship and I will praise? Even though that innkeeper wouldn't let me in his inn, and I saw a corner in the inn where we could have gone and laid, and Jesus could have been born, I could see it through the door that was almost shut. But even though that happened, I will worship. That's a shepherd's response. And Mary's is just like it. The treasure of Mary is the fourth thing. When we look at this through supernatural eyes, again, this is something that we control. You see what it said there in verse 19? Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, pondering them. Now that's an amazing thing, isn't it? How do you continue with Jesus and the message? You treasure it in your heart. That's what we do. How do we go out of here today and have the joy of the Lord in our hearts? We treasure it. We hide the story of Christ's birth in our heart. We ponder it through the day. We give glory to God and we worship Him for what He's doing and what He has done in this world. We treasure it. Did Mary treasure the walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem? I don't know. But I bet there was somewhere along the way where she realized that the Messiah was said to be born in Bethlehem in Micah, so 800 years in advance. And I bet there was somewhere along the way that she also realized, no, it said the Messiah would be a Nazarene. And maybe when they're living back in Nazareth, and she sees, wow, the Lord fulfilled both of those. And I got to be a part of it. That she treasured that in her heart too. I imagine in Micah when it says from the lowliest of circumstances, right, the greatest are being born. Maybe when she's on her way to Egypt after she's been in Bethlehem, she's remembering, wow, he was born in a stable and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here in my arms. Church, it's never the package that determines the quality of the gift. It's never our circumstances that determine the work of God in our life. Look through spiritual eyes this Christmas and have joy in the glory of the Lord. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, may your joy be in our hearts through and through. We worship you and we know that at your birth, that joy came to this world. And so we sing and we celebrate because you are just as amazing today as you were back then. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.